Have you ever read stuff that just goes right by you? How many of you say, yeah? Some of you say, yeah, all during my high school years. No, I mean in the Bible. I know it happens. I mean, we've just gone through, you know, Ezekiel and Job, and I'm trying to figure them out, and it just goes right by me. How many of you have a rough time reading the Bible sometime? Raise your hand. Yeah, the rest of you need to start reading the Bible.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. If you've ever watched a loving father spending time with a son in whom he takes delight, you'll get an idea of the kind of relationship God wants to have with his children, you and me. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Relationships That Delight God.
You know, when I was in Rome, I just saw a bunch of stuff, ancient civilization. Then I saw monasteries everywhere, monks everywhere, and they were even canonizing some more saints. I was a little discouraged, though. I looked in the group of people they were canonizing, and there was no Portuguese, none. They're Italians and Polish, but I thought, you know, it'd be great to have Portuguese monks. You know why? Because the wisdom that would flow into the world. And so I thought, and then I came across a thing where it said, you know, because you think about monks and they're like the Thailand kind of monks or these Japanese monks on the top of a hill spouting all these philosophical gems. You could just see a Portuguese guy in this monk clothes, you know? And so I came across this thing and it's called Portuguese Zen. I thought, ooh, this is good. So I got a copy of it, and I want to read to you. You can just imagine with me now, a Portuguese guy with a monk suit up on the top of a mountain, and he's going to speak these gems of wisdom. Here's the first one, and it kind of comes out like Japanese, you know, because he's got to have that kind of accent. So here is the first one, Portuguese Zen wisdom. He who want to date a nurse must first be patient. You didn't realize that kind of wisdom existed in the world, did you? Here's the second one. Always remember, you are unique, just like everybody else. And think, two wrongs don't make a right, three lefts do. At first, if you don't succeed, skydiving not for you. And if you don't like somebody, lend them $20. You will never see them again. And that was what? The $20. I like this one. Before you criticize anybody, first, walk a mile in their shoes. Then when you criticize them, you 1 mile away. And best part of all, you keep their shoes. I like that. I think Portuguese they would make great monks, don't you? Well, we better get to our sermon here. Have you ever read stuff that just goes right by you? How many of you say, yeah? Some of you say, yeah, all during my high school years. No, I mean in the Bible. Knowing that you're reading along with me in the Bible reading bookmark, I know it happens. I mean, we've just gone through, you know, Ezekiel and Job, and man, those books just beat me up. I'm trying to figure them out, and it just goes right by me. How many of you have a rough time reading the Bible sometime? Raise your hand. Yeah, the rest of you need to start reading the Bible. But you know how it used to be? When I would read something in the Bible that I didn't understand, and it would just irk me, you know, like, why is God having those people, you know, that person is killed or this war happens, and I think, I can't understand this. And you know what I would do is I would actually, it would stunt my growth. I'd say, well, I'm not reading this anymore. And I'd put it aside for a while. I don't understand this. And I'd just give up. Or I'd see something in church and someone would do something that's like non-Christian. I mean, that's so bad. That's so non-Christian. I'm not going to that church anymore. And I'd actually pull back. It'd stunt my growth. But you know, God has always been faithful, I found, to take me the long way around, and then somewhere He will explain to me what I didn't understand, maybe through a sermon or through an event or through a circumstance. Then lights would go on. That's it, God. That's why You said that. And then I start my faith engines again, and I'd start walking with God again. But by that time, it could be 6 months lag time. And so I've lost 6 months. But God is always faithful to explain. And in fact, if He would have tried to back here when I was first stumped, I may not have had the maturity adequate or measure of maturity enough to have understood or even received what He was going to explain to me. So there's going to be times things of God will go right by you. But if you stop your faith engine and wait, He's going to explain it over here. But by the time you start it up again, you lost 6 months. You know what I found? I found over the year it's better that when I don't understand something, I just keep reading. And even if I don't understand something that's going on in the Bible, I just keep walking. And what I do is I make a mental note of it. I pull a little Post-it sticker off my brain and I write a question. God, why did You do such and such? And then I put it in a basket that just swings in my cranium, just gently in the breeze. And I just fill it with questions and I just keep walking because I know somewhere along the line, God is going to pull one of those questions out and answer them for me. And when He does, through a situation or an illustration or a sermon, I'll say, thank You, God, but I will not have lost 6 months of backsliding or relationships. You say, you mean you just keep walking even though you've got unanswered questions? Absolutely. I've got a lot of questions still that I'd like to ask God, but I'm just going to keep going forward. Well, isn't that crazy? You should understand. Not always. You see, that's why the Bible says this, that there's going to be times you'll have to learn to walk by faith and not by understanding. Where does it say that? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will guide and direct your paths. He's faithful to do that. And don't lean on your own understanding, because if you do, it'll stunt your growth. Trust in Him and walk by faith. And He'll always be faithful to help you gain understanding when there's adequate maturity to be able to understand His explanation. And so you keep following Him. Well, this was the case when I came through Ezekiel chapter 37. And I read this thing about bones, dry bones, putting bones together and breathing on them. And I thought, this is crazy. What in the world does this have to do with life? Now, you've heard, I heard the song, them bones, and dry bones, and bones, and bones, and dry bones, and then ankle bone connected to the hip bone, and the hip bone connected to whatever. Let me say ankle bone connected to the... There's a couple more in between, so I can't remember, but... Okay, I'm short. Mine's connected to my hip, so what? So I read that and I thought, what does that have to do with life? Well, I couldn't figure it out. Let's read what it says here and you'll see what I mean. Ready? Go. And He said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And then He said to me, prophesy over these bones and say, thus says the Lord God, breathe on these slain, that they may come to life. So I prophesied as He commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. And I thought, God, this is a strange, gnarly story. What is, and how does that apply to life? I said, and by the way, Lord, You didn't need to Ezekiel to do those things, you know. Ezekiel, talk to those bones. And He talked to them and they came together. Okay, Ezekiel, now breathe on them and life's going to come. God, You could have done it Yourself. What'd you have Ezekiel do it for? You could have put those bones together. You could have brought them to life. But You say to Ezekiel and then Ezekiel does it. For what? Well, I wrote that, put it in that little basket. And then God explained it some time ago. It happened at the airport. I got off the plane and I was waiting at the baggage claim, and there was a father with his young boy, must have been, I don't know, 7, 8 or so, and we all received kind of our bags at the same time, and there was a man checking baggage tags with the bags and to make sure everything matched. So the dad said, here, show the man these baggage tags, and he pulled them out of his pocket off the ticket. And so the little boy went up there and handed the man the tags, and he checked them and he marked them off, and he said, well, thank you very much, young man. And he took them back and he just beamed with pride. So then we walked to the elevator because we were, I guess, both parked the same parking level. And as we got to the elevator, the father said, son, push that button with the arrow going up. So he pushed it and it lit up. And just in a moment, there was a jolt and the doors open. We entered and the father then said to the boy, see number 4 there? Press number 4 right there, right there. Yeah, push it. And so he did, just bold, with bold confidence, he pushed that button, and the elevator began to rise. The door opened at the 4th floor, and then I noticed as we moved towards, I guess our cars were pretty much in the same place, and I heard him say, here, take this little remote control and push that button that has a little picture of an open lock on it. And he did, and that little boy pushed it, and you could hear a little beep, beep, and lights flashed, and the doors would unlock the car. And then they would load their things in. And then we drove off, but I kind of chuckled as I saw this relationship between father and son. And I said, you know, God, that father didn't need that boy to show the tickets. He didn't need that boy to push the button. He didn't need the boy to push the floor or the floor button for the parking, nor for the remote control. But it's just a delightful thing to watch them. And then God pulled that thing and said, do you remember that question you had about me not needing Ezekiel? I could have done that same thing to the bones. But I delighted to carry out my desire through my son Ezekiel. And so it is true with that father. You will notice that when there is a good, healthy relationship happening, that the father will always delight to carry out his will through his children, not in spite of, but through. And that is one of the hallmarks. In fact, would you write it in, of a healthy relationship there at number 1. God delights in carrying out his will through his children. You see, and the same is true with us. God is looking for children in healthy relationship with him through which he can carry out his will. Push that button, carry out this miracle, give this word of advice, give that word of encouragement. God could do it, but he wants to run it through us because he delights in carrying out his will through his children when they have a good relationship with him. You see, God wants to give blessings to Hawaii. God wants to give people encouraging words. God wants to give people wisdom and advice. God wants to give them counsel. God wants to build a lasting ministry through a church to impact this generation in Hawaii. And so what is he doing? He's looking for children that have a genuine relationship with him through which he can carry out his will. Just think, however, if that boy had a bad relationship with his father. Say that kid was a rebellious kid and he didn't want to have anything to do with the dad, and he was mad for the dad. He hadn't even taken him on this trip. He didn't want to go. So he gets there by the baggage, and I don't want to be here. The dad would just take, he wouldn't give the tickets and do this. In fact, when the kid would want to push the elevator button, he'd say, hey, get in the back of the elevator. And he'd probably push it himself. Get in the car. In fact, sit in the back. No, just hang on to the bumper. Anyway. You see, he could still be a son, but without a relationship, the father wouldn't carry out his will through him. There has to be a genuine relationship that's vibrant and healthy for the father to carry out his will through his children. And God is looking for that. Just because we say, oh, I'm a Christian, yep, I received Christ, doesn't mean that we have a genuine relationship with him. God wants us not to just have faith, but to have a vibrant and living faith. I was having devotions on the boat, and a waiter came by, his name was Lars. And so he saw me reading the Bible and he looked down and he said, Bible? I said, yeah, I'm doing my devotion. Do you read the Bible? No. He says, but I have faith, I'm a Christian. I said, oh, great, where are you from? He said, Belgium. I said, are there churches where you live? He said, oh, big ones. And I'm sure he's talking about the size of the buildings, big churches. Oh, do you go to church? Oh, no, I don't go to church. Oh, so, but I have my own faith. See, I have my own faith. I said, but you don't read the Bible, go to church or any of that? And no, it's a private thing with me. Oh, okay. So off he walked, and I thought, you know, Lord, he has a faith, but it's not a living faith. It's not a faith that influences anybody. It's not a faith that ushers anyone towards you. God, help me to have not just a faith, but to have a living and vibrant faith that makes a difference. And you see, that's the kind of relationship that God wants to have with his children, through which he delights to carry out his will, his blessings to the islands, the miracles. See, often we're not waiting on God. He's waiting on us. You can be someone who's a Christian, but not someone who has a vibrant faith. Huge difference. We find that I saw that in Rome all over the place, where people don't necessarily have a genuine and vibrant relationship with God anymore. They have icons, they have amulets, they have statues of the past, but they don't have a living relationship. In fact, I asked one of the guides, I said, how many people are, quote, Christians, unquote, in Italy? That guide said 90% of Italy, 90% claim Christianity. I said, how many go to church? He said, about none. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, maybe 5% go to church, but the churches are basically empty here. I thought, isn't that funny? But yet they have all of these religious icons everywhere. And I thought, man's tendency is to substitute religion for relationship. See, Jesus didn't come to the earth to bring us a new religion. He came to repair a broken relationship with God, to hook us back up, bone to bone, as it were. He came to repair that broken relationship. But we have a tendency to lose that relationship and settle for icons. It happened in Mark chapter 9. You probably just read it in your reading, where Jesus went up to the top of a mountain, and the Bible says he was transfigured before three disciples, Peter, James, and John. His clothes became whiter than any launderer could make them. His face began to gleam. And then from the Old Testament came Moses and came Elijah, and he's talking to these Old Testament characters that have been transported into the new. There he's talking, and Peter gets so excited. He gets excited and he says, let's read in our scriptures there on the bottom there. Ready? Go. Let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Then a cloud formed, overshadowing them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son, listen to him. You see, what was happening was this. Man has a tendency to take an event where God once moved, build a tabernacle to it, to try and keep it in suspended animation and keep that event going and commemorate, memorialize a past event where God once moved. Put a tabernacle of concrete and canvas so that it can become accessible to us at any time, whenever we need to appeal to it for help. So we know where it is, we can control it, we memorialize it, we canonize it, we program it, we package it so that we can access it whenever we need to. And so we take celebrities and we make the same thing so we can access them at any time. But God has a wonderful way of correcting our faith. He who owns the universe all of a sudden changes the barometric pressure, causes a low pressure system to immediately form, increases the humidity, clouds form, he changes the wind shear, and all of a sudden, some clouds come over that area, and he speaks like a microphone through a speaker, and he corrects them, and he says, hey, this is my beloved son. Listen to him. You know what God was saying? Don't make tabernacles where it becomes a religious icon for years. I want you to have a daily, ongoing, vibrant, living relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what delights me, not us memorializing events where God moved in the past. The question is, do you have a vibrant relationship with what Jesus is saying right now to you? Are you listening to Him? Are you staying current in your walk with the Lord? That's the kind of relationship that delights the Father. And if you would write in your notes right there, God delights in us having a genuine relationship with Jesus. A genuine relationship with Jesus. I'm going to read you two scriptures, and they're not in your notes, nor will it come out on the PowerPoint. But just listen to two repeating phrases. The first is found in Acts 2:47, and it says this. Listen. And they were praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number daily those who were being saved. 1 Corinthians 1:18. The word of the cross is to those that are perishing foolishness. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. God makes a distinction like He did with Lars on the boat, who had a faith, but it was not a living faith. He says that He's going to add to the church daily those who are not just saved, an event that took place in their lives, but it may have started there, but they are what? They are being saved. See, it's still ongoing. It started at an event in the past, but there's an ongoing sense to it. And God is saying, that's the ones I want to add to the church. You know people that have been saved, which is a Christian word for just receiving Christ, whether you walked up to an altar, raised your hand, prayed, whatever it might be, and you say yes to Jesus Christ. Then you are, as it were, quote unquote, saved, or you receive salvation, forgiveness of sin. But I know some people that have been saved, but I know some others that are being saved. Oh yeah, that happened, but there is an ongoing sense of wholeness that is increasing in their life where they can say, you know, I was praying this morning and the Lord spoke to my heart about such and such. The Lord has been speaking to me about those people that are still being saved. They are so refreshing to be around. Others that are saved but have done nothing with it since, terrible. Yeah, I was saved back in 52. Yeah, I've been through a lot of storms with a bunch of pastors. I've seen them come and go, and you're going to be the next one. You know, those kind, they're just this crass kind of, yeah, but I've been saved for a long time. I've been in this church longer than you've been alive. You know, it's just, it's kind of, ooh. But there's others that, yes, received Christ, but there's an ongoing wholeness in their life. They're being saved. The Lord also says that in John 10:10. He makes that same distinction. He says, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more, what? Abundantly. He says, the reason I've come is to give you life, which is eternal life, or life in all of its essence, a quantity of life, that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly, a quality of life. He didn't come to just give us a quantity of life. He came to give us a quality of life. And like Lars, he might get into heaven, but on the way, he will influence nobody. He will influence no one along the way. Because he might have a faith to get him there, but nowhere near enough faith to get anybody else there, to influence anyone else. And he might get to heaven, but I tell you, God can't route any heaven through him to the earth. It gets him to heaven, but it gets no heaven to earth. What's it going to require? Sons and daughters who are more than just a son and a daughter, but a son with a vibrant relationship that's ongoing and daily, that God says, I want you to speak to these bones. I want you to bring life to these bones. I want to run my will through you. I take delight in fulfilling my desire through you. And I want to bring blessings to Hawaii in wisdom and advice and counsel and a future and a hope. I'm looking for couriers of that message. I'm looking for people that I can run this through so that I can say, speak, and all of a sudden something happens. Could God have done it in spite of us? Mm-hmm. But He takes delight in running it through us. And He's looking for those who would have and maintain and develop a vibrant daily relationship, a faith that is alive.
You've been listening to part one of a message entitled Relationships That Delight God. On tomorrow's broadcast, Pastor Wayne will teach us how to repair broken relationships, but not only repair them, how to give them life. We hope you'll be listening. Thank you for joining us for Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.